welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, a podcast that takes you on a journey across Nigeria and Africa to explore the country and the continent's diverse and vibrant culture. Our esteemed guests will share their experiences and insights into the local tourism scene, from hidden gems to must-see attractions. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we see the world with Ajala Nene. Whether you're planning a trip to Nigeria or Africa, or simply want to explore and experience the continent from the comfort of your own home, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore Nigeria and Africa together. Hey, welcome, welcome. Thanks for being here with me at the Wanderlust Wonder segment on See the World with Ajala Nene. Remember, this is where we spotlight tourist sites in Africa and beyond. And today, our spotlight is Nike Art Gallery. Situated in Lagos, Nigeria, the Nike Art Gallery is a renowned cultural institute showcasing Nigerian art and culture. It features a vast collection of traditional and contemporary artworks, including paintings, sculptures, and textiles. Visitors can explore the gallery's multiple floors, interact with the artists, and purchase unique pieces of Nigerian art. Occasionally, they also host events that promote art and culture. So if you are an art and culture lover and looking for the best deals and best artworks in Lagos, Nike Art Gallery is your plug. Oh yeah, let's join our guests for today. Hello everyone, welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, and this is our guest section. And today I have one of my tourism daddies here with us. Don't blush. And I call him Ajala Nana. You know I'm Ajala Nene, and his old is Ajala Nana. That's the name we give ourselves. And we have Dr. Raf James. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Raf, yes, he's a doctor. James is the founder and director general of the Center for Research, Information and Media Development, also known as CRIMD. And he's the first to establish a library in 2004 at Dibou, but later advanced it into what we see now as a non-political, non-governmental, non-profit-making, but standard research development institute. He's also the publisher of two magazines, namely The African Dame and the National Biographer magazine. He has written 56, I think, or more manuscripts.
Yeah, more than just 56. One extra, 57 by now.
57, okay. 57 manuscripts and published, it's more than 24 now.
No, just 24.
It's just 24. Yeah. I thought there was another book coming.
I've not published any lately.
So 56 manuscripts and 24 published books. He has also donated over 50,000 books to the public since...
Presently 67,000 books.
Yes, 67,000 books now to the public since 2008, when he started his book donation to help bring back the reading culture in our society. Ajala Nanasa.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome on board.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for being here. I'm honored.
Well, I think I feel more honored to be your guest.
Okay, I think you like that. So the question I always ask our guests is, how did you get here? Why the tourism space? Why tourism?
For me, I should say tourism has been part of my life. Growing up as a young man, one of the things I used to tell my friends is that I like adventure. So I love traveling. I can recall the very first time I made an attempt to travel all alone on my own was 1982. I was still in secondary school then.
I was still in secondary school.
In fact, my very first attempt was 1977. But then, why I'm not going to emphasize on 1977 was because my auntie took me to the park, to the Berry Motors, and placed me inside the vehicle with my little cousin and told the driver to take care of us when we get to Lagos.
So you guys did not explore.
We did not explore. But 1982, I heard over the radio then, I think Rivers FM Port Harcourt, that Temeke Ojukwu was coming back to Nigeria and he was landing in Enugu. So I left school for Enugu to go and see Emeka Ojukwu. I didn't have any guide. I didn't have anywhere to stay.
Who told you to just get up and go like
that? I just wanted to see this guy.
How old are you, sir?
I should be around maybe 16, 17 or so then.
Young man like that.
Yes.
Just carry it.
I just took that risk. I didn't know anywhere, so I slept in the railway station. Following morning, I went to the airport. I saw Ojukwu from a distance and everybody was waving. In fact, you know what? I was so carried away that I climbed on top of an armored tank, a military armored tank, without realizing I was on top of the tank.
Wow.
Until the soldiers now noticed, who is this bloody civilian here? And they pushed me down from the top.
I was so like that.
Oh my God. So that was my very first attempt. And subsequently after then, I think I enjoyed traveling because then I used to travel by train. And then it was a big deal for us young guys. You know, you enter the train without paying your ticket.
Mm.
So you hang by the door and you keep hiding when they're coming to collect tickets. So it became part of me. And I entered the university. It continued like that. So for me, it has been part of me.
Okay, sir. So the books. What's with your book? I know, I remember you have a Christmas book. Christmas tree book,
yes. I love reading books. I discovered at the tender age
that... Did it help with your travel?
Oh, of course, a whole lot. In fact, it helped in practically everything I've done in life.
Mm.
I also recall 1978 was the first time I read Things Fall Apart. It was not a recommended text. Yeah, an uncle of mine who was in his NYC came back from camp and was telling my auntie about his girlfriend in Calabar, how he visited a girlfriend and the girlfriend was preparing a dikaiko and he was reading Things Fall Apart. And you know, I was so carried away with the narrative he was giving. So I was peeling cassava, you know, on the floor. So I used the knife I was into peel cassava to write on the floor,
Things Fall Apart.
In fact, this is what I wrote, Chinua Achebe by Things Fall Apart. The other way around. So by the time I finished peeling cassava, I have used my leg to clean part of what I wrote on the floor. So I couldn't really remember the name, but I remember things and things falling apart and all that. So I scribbled that down. So the next day I went to school. We used to have just one store in my village. It was a general store for whatever you need. So I went to meet the guy and I told him I wanted to buy Chinua Achebe by Things Fall Apart. So he went to town the next day and interestingly he bought it. 3 kobo. I remember very well.
Wow.
I still have that particular edition with me. So
is it in our museum?
Yes. So I read it and it changed my life completely.
How?
Well, reading through Things Fall Apart, I came to realize that the Okonkwo was out to be a man. And he told himself that he was not going to be anything that his father was.
Sorry, sir. For those who don't know Things Fall Apart,
okay.
We have some young children.
Yeah, okay. Things Fall Apart is a book written by Chinua Achebe. In fact, it's one of the most popular books among all his books.
Yeah.
And it has been translated in over 300 languages across the world. So Chinua Achebe told us about Okonkwo and his father, Onoka. And Okonkwo saw his father as a lazy man because he was always playing music and not, you know. And this music thing has a season. Only come during the particular season. So for me, I said, okay, if that is the case, I'm not going to do anything that I think is not going to profit me in the future.
Mm.
So there are certain things I felt my dad was doing, which I said I wasn't going to do.
Mm.
For example, I don't take alcohol. My father was taking alcohol. So I said, okay, I'm not going to take alcohol.
Mm.
I want to be like Okonkwo.
Hmm.
But today, I can actually tell you, good authority, I've come to realize more than that Okonkwo, Onoka, the father, wasn't really lazy.
Yeah.
It's not that he found himself in a profession that was seasonal.
Yeah.
So he could only play his music when that particular time come.
Really.
So I grew up loving books. I started reading, I started writing, and what prompted me to write my very first book. My dad, like I said, used to drink and was a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted my dad to quit smoking. So I kept on preaching to him. I said, stop smoking. And he wasn't really working. So I said, okay, I'm going to write a book on how to stop smoking. And that was how I wrote my first book. My first book was titled The Why and How of Quitting Cigarette Smoking. And interestingly, let me tell you this, for those who are listening, it encouraged me somewhat because it taught me something about life. I just finished secondary school and I had a book and I wanted the Honorable Minister of Health, serving Minister of Health in Nigeria,
yes,
Professor Luke Erasumkwiti, to write the foreword for me.
Oh.
And I went to Ikoyi, I went to Federal Secretary Ikoyi to see the minister.
Hmm.
I was young, I didn't know anywhere. It was my first time in Ikoyi. So, but somehow, because my dad had challenged me that it wasn't going to be possible for me to see a minister, I promised myself I was going to do it. So eventually I went to the ministry 22 times.
Wow.
Covering a period of 3 months.
Wow.
So every time I had transport fare, I would travel down to Ikoyi where my dad goes to work. Eventually, on the 23rd time, I eventually met with the minister.
How?
Yeah, I met him. I was in his office waiting. Already, I knew practically all his staff because they were seeing me every day. So
this boy has always come.
So on that particular day, when I met the minister, I told him, I've been coming here. This is my 23rd time. He said, what do you want? I said, I want you to write the foreword of my book. That is all. Interestingly, he wrote the foreword of my book. Yeah, we became friends at a point that when I even got admission into the university, he would send his driver from Lagos to Adoekiti to bring foodstuffs for me. So for me, I was like, good, I can do it. I mean, if I can do it at this age.
What did Daddy do?
Well, of course, what did he do? He was proud of himself. So that has actually encouraged me. So
he's always been an adventurer at heart. And very daring.
It has always been part of me. It has always been part of me.
If I may remember, one of the ways I met you, the first time I met you was when Mr. Pelu was doing his book launch of one of his books.
Okay.
I think it was the White Lagos.
Okay.
It was holding that Jackal House at the railway station.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, when I came in, he told me that I was having the fork and I came with my daughter. She was my handbag then. And I read a part of his book. So he said, go around, people are here. So I went to the garden park. And so that's where I met Mr. Adedeji Olaleko. We spoke. Then I just turned. I saw a table full of banknotes, coins, stuff. Hell, my heart jumped. Who have I seen that has more collections than me? Oh my goodness. And I walked there and I saw you just looking very calm. I said, please, 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 please. Who owns all this collection of banknotes, coins, and also Biafra money? I said, Biafra money. I said, no. Who is the owner? And he said, hello, young lady. I said, hello, sir. I said, you own all this? He said, yes, I own all these. I said, hello. I need to come and raid your museum.
You know the amazing thing is this. I started collecting. I went into collection 1974. In fact, practically 74 years. Practically everything I've done started in the 70s. Mm. I was the strange guy in my, in fact, the wild guy in my village. Everybody was like, that's strange boy. That guy is always doing strange things. For my coins, I used to go to the riverside where they do rituals. You know, in the village, they do rituals by the river, and they use coins to do rituals. I go and pack the coins, and my friend will be like, "Oh my God, mommy, what is going to catch in the night?" I say, "She'll come in the night."
So that's when you started your collection.
That's when I started. Telling you. And when I eventually came to Lagos in the 80s, as in when I finished secondary school, I came to Lagos. I visited a friend in Idialaba. And amazingly, I saw a lot of beggars on the streets and they were begging for money and they had this plate, you know, with coins. They'll be shaking. So I would just go and peep into the coin. Oh my God, look at old coins. So I said, okay, you know what? I'll give you 1 naira you can use to buy food, but I want to pack your old coins. They said, no problem. So I kept packing all their old coins, which is not valuable to them. Yeah, it was so valuable to me.
Wait.
And today, I cannot actually give you exactly the number of coins that I have, but I can tell you I have over 3,000 to 4,000 coins.
The two way you collected coins. First, mommy, water. You are going to go and steal people's
coins. I'm telling you. I wasn't stealing. I told mommy water. I said, since you cannot use the coins, let me help you keep them.
They're number two. Beggars. You give them notes.
Yeah.
1 naira.
I give them the current money, which is useful to them. Then I take the one that is not useful to them.
Wow. Okay, yeah. If you did tell me this story, I think you'd be lying. By the way, guys, so we are doing what we call banknote swap. Those of you who are watching on YouTube.
Okay.
So Dr. Raff asked me to please give him nairas. I didn't know this thing, sir. Until you mentioned it that
okay.
That our money has.
You have actually told me to bring my collection. I would have not brought my album. Yeah, so you could just see.
Show them.
I'm telling you, yes.
People were jealous. So I went to check my collections and I found I have some naira notes that doesn't have the year. So each year, I think they bring out different notes
every year.
So he asked for a particular year. So I brought my own to give him. Then I gave him Sudanese dinar. I grew up in Khartoum, Sudan. So I gave him some of our old money. This money now cannot be used in Sudan, so don't even come and try and steal it from him. Okay? And then he gave me Biafra money. Don't be jealous when you see my collection. Don't come near me either. And this is really beautiful stuff because people call me weird because I collect monies and coins. I started doing this when I was 7 years old.
Okay.
My daddy worked in the UN and he used to travel a lot. So when he comes back, while he's there, he will send us postcards.
Then when he comes back, he'll bring stamps and coins and money and say, and he'll keep them. I'm like, can I have them? I said, no problem. So I became his collector. So anytime he had that, and when he died, I inherited. My mama said, now you like this kind of thing. Come on, carry all this. We now throw it away. I said, hey, Robbie, don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Just give them to me. Why do you collect coins, and what really inspired you to start doing all that stuff? And how has that helped in when it comes to your travel and tourism passion?
Okay, let me start with postage stamp. Okay, postage stamp was because as a young guy, I used to be a letter writer in my village. Mm-hmm. Most elderly people called me to come and write letters for them. Mm-hmm. I also come and read letters.
Yeah.
So for every time I do that, the only thing I request from them is the envelope.
Okay.
I'll tell them, you keep the letter, I'll take the envelope because of the postage stamp. I was just fascinated by the colors of stamp. That's just it. Nothing else. That's it. Then for the coins. For the coins, maybe because, okay, probably fascination too. I keep wondering, why is it that there's a coin that is different from another one? So I wanted to like have all of them. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I recall very well, my grandma used to have Biafran coins, a whole lot of Biafran coins. And at a point in time, there was this rumor in the village that police were going house to house to search for those that have Biafran coins. My grandma packed everything and gave it to me to go and bury in our farm.
Wow.
So I went to go and bury it. In fact, the biggest challenge I had collecting coins is Biafran coins. Even when I went back to the village, I went to the spot where I buried it to go and search for. I didn't find it. Probably somebody saw me and dug it out and all that. So that encouraged me to start collecting. Then eventually I came to Lagos, I think around 1984 or so. I went to the General Post Office at Marina to buy stamp. And I told the cashier that I wanted old stamps. And she asked me, said, are you a stamp collector? Actually, never knew there were other people as mad as I was.
Yes, you don't worry,
and she said, yes. She said, we have old stamp. Are you a collector? I said, yeah. She said, have you been to the philatelic club?
Aww.
I said, where is that? She said, it's behind Marina. Do you know, I didn't wait for her to finish talking. I flew. And when I got to the philatelic club, the moment I opened the door, I saw a lot of people, whites. So I was a bit confused. I mean, I was young.
Yeah, well,
so I wanted to go back. I was like, okay, I'm there. So I opened the door and somebody asked me, said, hey, are you a collector? I said, yes. Is this your first time? I said, yes. And she announced it. Said, we have a new collector in the house.
Yay!
And everybody was like, hey. They started clapping. I was like, oh my God. So there are so many mad people here, right?
Yes.
And that day, I met quite a lot of people who gave me stamp, not exchange, because I didn't even go with my stamp.
Yeah, you so were new, they didn't.
Yeah, so everybody was like, here, take. People were donating stamp. I said, whoa, really? Okay, so I have to continue
Nigerians?
This madness.
Were there any white people you saw?
They were Nigerians.
But
I mean,
they
were not much as much as
that's
the white
nine,
we have there. So that actually encouraged me. Then much more later, I started reading about stamps, and I get to discover that there's a whole lot of money attached in stamp collecting.
Yes.
I said, oh, wow, I never knew.
Yes.
So today, as I talk to you, I have Nigerian postage stamps complete from 1960 to date.
Ew.
I don't have anyone missing.
Wow.
I have others before 1960. I don't know how complete those ones are, but from 1960, October 1st to date, I have it complete.
Do you have extra?
Yeah, not even swap. I can actually give you some. But if you recall, I've actually told you before I wanted to give you stamp. It's just that you're always very busy and not really have time to get those things. Until you decide to concentrate that you want to collect. No wahala.
See, I have someone that wants to come to your museum. I told that we are going to go to take the day off. Go up early in the morning and then we'll stay there till the evening.
I'll be there for all of you.
Now let's talk about Prince, sir. That is your museum.
Yeah.
How did you start it? How old is it? What inspired you to start the museum? By the way, guys, you all have to visit that place. It's beautiful. What I mean beautiful. If you like history and you like collection, then that's the place you have to go to. If you want a proper museum that will show you the life of Nigeria itself, let me
Okay, thank you so much. The idea of the museum didn't really just come. Nigeria was planning Nigeria at 100, which was supposed to be 2014. And from my own center, I was trying to do some research work that would actually fit in. Interestingly, I got in contact with Professor Tekena Tamono of Blessed Memory now, who was the chairman of the Centenary Committee, and we got talking, and I told him I wanted to be part of the committee. He said he was going to bring me in as a subcommittee member.
Okay.
So I told him I had projects I was working on. One of them was a book, 100 Women of the Century. And the second book was Events, Dates and Events of the Century.
Okay.
Now, dates and events
first,
of the...
Were they focused on Nigeria?
Yeah, all of them is Nigeria.
You see, I have the book, sir.
I'm coming to it now. Now, dates and events was going to chronicle events that happened January 1st, 1914, January 2nd, 1914, January 3rd, 19 like that up till 2014.
Okay.
That was my idea. Okay. In fact, that is my idea, and that is actually how it is. Mm-hmm. The book is written but not published, because it ran up to about 3,000 pages. It became so capital intensive for me, and I wanted government to take over. But I discovered along the line that the government officer that I was introduced, because I was asked to meet with the secretary to the federal government, then I traveled down to Abuja. I met with Pius and Impius and his team members. They were more interested in taking over my manuscript. And Prof had told me, said, whatever happens when your manuscript goes out of your hand, is your business. Don't come and call me. Yeah. So I was also doing all I can to protect it. Eventually, the book wasn't out. But in the course of working on the manuscript, I came across thousands of photographs that can tell Nigerian story. And I said, okay, there's no way all these photographs are going to go into the book.
Yeah.
So why don't I just do something else? Look for how to document those photographs. Mm-hmm. So that was how the idea of running initially a photo museum came up.
So
my target was to run a photo museum. So I started with the first 5,000 photographs. Something went wrong, my system crashed. I lost 5,000 photographs. I became so discouraged. And one spirit was like, hey, you did it the first time, you can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I started all over.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, I started traveling. I bought two cameras. I gave one of them to my staff and I said, okay, whatever we're going, we'll have to travel. Let's take as many shots as we can. If we see any books, old newspapers, old magazines, we'll retake photographs that we can keep to tell the story. And today, as I talk, I think I have close to 47,000 photographs on Nigerian history. So I started framing and placing them in the museum. Then unfortunately, my space was small. And when I discovered that the space wasn't going to fit in with what I was doing, I stopped, so I started putting them in soft copies. But now the museum have gone beyond photographs, so we now have artifacts. And what I'm doing there is anything, everything that can tell Nigeria's story.
So that museum, Olasha Museum, is not as rich as well.
Well, I wouldn't want to say that on air, so that you know, the National Museum people are my bosses. But you see, now this is the difference. Let me explain this.
What's the difference?
Nigeria presently have about 52 national museums and monuments across the country, and generally, I think we have about 94 museums or so nationwide, both private and the national ones.
Okay.
I am doing something different from what others are doing. The National Museum, for example, are focusing more on traditional and cultural artifacts, you know, like our artworks. I'm not doing artwork because I don't want to compete with them. But I'm doing things that once you see them, you'll be like, oh my God, yeah, I think I remember this. You know, like the kind of things that my grandmother or my mom's or my dad used when they were growing up, like the currency, for example. As you see, in good authority, I am probably competing only with the currency museum in Abuja. In terms of currency, in terms of postage stamp, probably I'm competing with the philatelic club. Those are the two I can think of. Then I have so many other items that ordinarily you don't expect to see in the museum. You know, I have bottles. I trust for now, I think I'm the only one collecting bottles across the country. I have 222 different bottles of brands of drinks that have been taken in Nigeria. Some of these bottles, when I even run into, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know when they took this. But point is, we are preserving it. We're going to use it to tell a story when tomorrow comes. So that's what my museum is doing.
I think that's where the Western world really beats us.
In fact, I went online to look at the Smithsonian Museum and I was like, oh, okay, I'm not really mad because that is what Smithsonian is doing.
Don't worry, am I not here?
You know, when I started collecting bottles, I remember I posted it once and somebody commented, he said, your mates, they drink beer, you collect the bottle.
I remember I joined one club online called Post Crossing. You get to swap postcards with people from different countries.
Okay.
So I was the only Nigerian that was active. So everybody wanted a postcard from me.
Really?
It was hard to keep up. And anytime I got, because my postal address was my office there when I was working.
Okay.
Anytime they got my envelope, they would come and say, madam, you're all right. Who are these people? You do know them. They're sending you postcards, stamp, coin, money. Are you to your sharing with them? Are you all right?
But that's actually the beauty.
So let me tell you what happened. When Forbes Africa reached out to me to feature my madness, that when they say, ah, so this your madness, get sent. I said, what do you want to abuse me? Don't say, now, Forbes Africa called me, feature me there. Yes, this madness is a maddening hobby.
Yeah, across the world is a big deal. It's only over here we don't appreciate things like this.
They make money out of
now,
it.
Most of the research work I'm doing now on Nigerian history, I'm actually using postcards. Postcards are my major evidence to prove that some of the things they taught us were wrong. Take the story of amalgamation, for example. I was able to confirm that the January 1st, 1914 amalgamation date is wrong based on postcards. because I got postcards that were sent before then, and I was looking at the crossing date on the postcard and the date of the stamp when they were issued and when they were delivered.
And that's because you took your time to ask the research.
Because I also collect postcards.
If not, I won't know.
I also go with the general belief of what they've told us about amalgamation of 1914.
Well, that means there's a lot of work to do when it comes
to... A whole lot of work.
I remember during the Mr. Pelu pop-up party, somebody mentioned something about the history and you got up and like, we need to research.
And I'm saying it strongly. I keep saying it. You see, we are in a country that don't value what we are.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I am one of those who strongly believe that the world, the creation started in what is called Nigeria today.
Why do you believe that, sir?
There's a whole lot of evidence. The Queen Sheba thing I talked about that day,
yes,
that the lady was like, now I'm not against her argument and her presentation. But the point is this, have we ever asked ourselves this question? Queen Sheba, the Israelites traveled for 40 years. From where were they traveling for 40 years to where? From where? Because she was saying how did Queen Sheba move from Ogun State to
Ethiopia.
To Ethiopia, whatever. Now, where were the Israelites traveling from for 40 years? From Egypt to where? So these are things we need to ask.
Yeah.
And I've repeatedly said one thing. When we're doing history, let us forget the fact that we have Abia State, we have Ogun State. Now, there was no state. They were not, you know, it was just one entity.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the name Africa, before now, the whole continent of Africa was called Ethiopia. And that is the argument I keep presenting. So if the whole continent of Africa was called Ethiopia and you said Queen Sheba is from Ethiopia, you're equally saying Queen Sheba is from Africa.
Africa.
Where in Africa? There's evidence in Ogun State. Why are we denying it? Why don't we work on researching to prove these facts?
You know, I wanted to be an archaeologist when I was young.
Well, I wish you were and we met now.
You know, in those days, they wouldn't encourage you. When you say you want to be an artist, an archaeologist, say poor man's job, you make money. You know, like these things in the long run are one of the things that are helping us to preserve our history. Mm-hmm. I actually wanted to read archaeology. Who knows? I mean, I've helped you prove this thing.
No, but I'm actually working on it.
Okay.
The iron melting... site that was discovered somewhere in Suka is the oldest in Africa. And I'm arguing, I said, if it is the oldest in Africa and civilization started in Africa, invariably it is the oldest in the world. There's some argument. There have to be a team. Government, interesting, wonderful government. Government should set up a team that can go to Aguleri and Umuleri to go and study them. Let's find out what is happening.
He read about Aguleri. I don't know about this.
I strongly believe that life started in Aguleri.
I have to admit that. But I don't know Aguleri. I've never heard of this before. And when she was describing their way of life and everything, that they have two kings.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Anambra get no. So these are the things that, those are the kind of histories we need to share. So let me go to one of the things I want us to talk about as we wrap this up.
So I know there's a trip you did one time where you went around Nigeria. Please correct me. You decided you wanted to travel around Nigeria and explore it. I can't remember if that's it. Yeah. So what encouraged you to do that, and how was the trip? How long did it take? What was the goal? Yes, I think that's the question.
Okay, I've actually done Nigeria twice now. I've gone through the states two times.
All 36 states.
Yes.
Hey,
two
God.
Times.
That's my dream.
It's achievable. It's achievable.
One thing
I would advise you not to do is don't do it at a stretch. It's gonna shake you. It's gonna shake you.
I was planning to do it like a whole year.
No, mine took about six, seven years.
Oh.
And what I was doing is whenever I am free and I have the resources to take care of myself while on tour, I take off.
How long do you stay normally?
Some stays I spend just a night. It depends on, because what I do is when I'm going, I would have mapped out the tourist sites I'm going to visit.
Exactly.
And I enjoyed doing my tour alone because I want to do more research work.
Yeah,
ask questions. So that was what I did. I pick states that are near each other. For example, if I was going to go to the east, I could do Abia, Imo, Enugu. Then I come back to Lagos. Then after some time, I do the second tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so what was the aim? Why were you going to this place?
I was trying to know Nigeria.
Okay.
Yeah, get as much information as I can. Like I said, I chronicle some tourist sites, so I needed to visit them.
Mm-hmm.
So that if I'm going to talk about a particular site, I don't want to tell you what I read on the internet.
Yeah, you want to tell what you experienced.
What I experienced, yes.
Yeah. Mr. Pelu wrote on his book during his pop-up, I said, Nene, do that documentary. Like, he wrote it down. That's This is evidence. Because I've always had a dream of exploring the whole of Nigeria. I did my final year project on tourism development in Nigeria. That's when I knew that this is an industry that we need to tap in. Because just not one state doesn't just have one tourist site, not just two, not just three, so
many
much.
Of them. So many
and you
of
know,
them.
It's, if we really focus on this state, see this Dubai, everybody shouting up and down, nobody will go there. Dubai, I'm not saying I don't like you guys. You guys are amazing. You're doing a great job. Don't get me wrong. But we ourselves are running to all those other countries.
What we have. Probably better than them.
Yeah, that's just
the
honest
one
truth.
One of the craziest tours I did was my visit to the Forest of a Thousand Demons.
Hey, well, where is that? Hey, doctor.
Like, seriously.
How do your children allow you to go to
the first time I made a post, I said I was going to visit the forest. A lot of those who are very close to me started calling my wife.
Yes,
they told her not to allow me to go and all that. So my wife was like worried. So I said, okay, I'm not going again. I canceled it. So after about 2-3 weeks and I know everywhere has settled down, I told her, I said I was traveling. I was going on a tour. I didn't tell her where. So I went to the Forest of a Thousand Demons.
Where is that, sir?
It's somewhere in Ondo.
Ondo.
Yes.
So how long did you stay in that thousand demons?
No, I think I spent about two or three hours in the forest.
Okay.
Now, but this is the most interesting thing. When I say people,
did you go alone?
Just me and my bike man.
Okay. Who was your tour guide?
Yes. Okay. It was really a tour. He was just a bike man. He stayed with me.
Oh,
I paid him to stay with me two other
years.
Then the chief priest took us to the mountain.
Okay.
But the interesting thing is this: I saw a demon. And when I said, people were like, are you just exaggerating? I said, no. Now, why did I say I saw a demon? When we climbed, it took us an averagely about an hour plus to get on top of the mountain.
Okay.
When we got to the top of the mountain and the chief priest was taking us around, he took us to the market of the demon. There's a market on top of the forest where he claimed that is where the demons buy and sell. And I was like, what do they sell?
Mm-hmm. What are they selling?
I mean, I don't know. He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
So, while we were there, we saw an old woman, a very old woman.
Okay.
And the old woman was addressing the chief priest as my daddy. And this chief priest should probably be in his 40s.
Okay.
And he was calling her my daughter.
All right.
And that woman shouldn't be less than 80 to 90, if not more than that.
Okay.
And I asked myself, how did this woman climb on top of this mountain?
Mm.
I knew the pain it took me to get there.
Mm. As a young man.
Yes. Now, at that point in time, the woman left us. Then my eyes started itching me.
Mm.
And my bike man was telling me, said, sir, your eyeballs are red.
Mm.
So the chief priest turned and looked at me and said, oh, the demon have a message for you.
Okay.
Well, he said the spirits, not the demon. He said the spirits have a message for you. So, and he asked me to close my eyes. And I was scared. Why would I close my eyes? I was just there, just me. So I moved 2 steps back away from him.
Mm-hmm.
I was calculating that even if he has to take any action before he gets close to me. So I closed my eyes, then I opened it. And honestly speaking, my eye was cleared, became white. He asked, he said, did you see anything, anybody? I wasn't sure, but I said vividly, I think I saw an old man with beards. He described who the person is. It fits into what I think I saw.
Okay.
Now, by the time we now climbed down the mountain and we're going, I saw the same old woman.
That old woman that was upstairs.
Yes.
She
came downstairs before us and she was now picking palm nods. And she had pods of kola nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she harvested somewhere. So I was interested in taking photograph of the kola nut, the pod of the kola nut. So I rushed. I've actually picked it before it downed on me that, oh boy, like I say, you don't pick spirit kola nut again. So I got stuck halfway holding it. Then I now asked the chief, I said, please tell mama that I want to take the kola nut. And she smiled and said I should take. So I took picture with it and I dropped it. And the chief said, you can't drop it. You've taken it. You have to take it home. Like, wow, okay.
Tosh, you didn't ask for permission. You carry
forcefully. I have to take it home. So I brought out a 1,000 naira note and I gave the chief priest. I said, please help me give mama. For me, I was like, let me pay for it too before they'll come and collect the money by another means. So that was it. So for me, I actually think and believe that I actually saw a spirit.
So you did see a spirit.
Yeah, but it was an interesting outing. Very, very interesting outing.
I don't need to ask you why it went. You're already. I don't have to ask you where it went. But honestly, when I'm ready for this trip, sir, it's people like you I'm going to come and consult.
No wahala.
It's something I really
I've actually been thinking to take some guys to go on because a lot of people, after I narrated my story, a lot of people said they wanted to go there.
Okay.
But I think there are a lot of protocols and I now understand the state government is now involved. You have to go and get permission and all that.
I'm sure somebody must have done something. That's why they'll
do that.
All right, sir. So let's go to a little personal about you. 3 things that people need to know about you or people don't know about you. Those 3 things.
I don't think there's anything that people don't know about me, because I am
very listeners, some people may not know.
I'm from Abia State. My wife is from Ogun State. She's a princess from Ogun State. Some people say they don't talk about number of children. I have 3 kids, 2 girls and a boy. My first daughter is the youngest published author in Africa and second published in the world. My second daughter also wrote her first book at the age of 6, wow. 5 plus.
Wow.
My second daughter wrote her first book at the age of 11.
Wow.
My son started taking photographs at the age of 5.
And he's taking one here
and
now.
Yes, and he was voted as the official photographer of NAFEST, Benin. Yeah, and he's also recognized as the youngest professional photographer in Nigeria.
So you know what you did? We're going to talk about your children. You talk about yourself. But I'll
oh,
take
oh, really?
I'll,
okay.
They are yours. It's fine. It's all right, sir.
Okay.
So what advice do you have to those listeners, really those who want to come into the tourism space, those who are already inside, and those of us, the elder ones like you, what advice do you have for these 3 sets of people?
Okay. One thing I'm going to say, and I've repeatedly said about for those of us who are working into tourism and trying to promote tourism, is please let's get our information right.
Yeah.
I do a lot of tours where I discover that I visit a particular place, I end up being the one telling the people
the
there
guide.
About their own history. It shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
Whomever you're going to place in a position to educate people, you should at least educate that person well enough to know what to tell people,
mm-hmm.
and tell them the facts.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange. I walked into the Calabar Museum some years back, mm-hmm. and I was telling them to remove a portrait they put inside their own museum, which the curator told me the portrait had been there for more than 13 years. I said, the information there is wrong. How are you telling me that Margaret Ekpo is the woman that led the Aba Woman's Riot when I know she did not? Margaret Ekpo was just a young girl, 13 years old as of 1929 when the riot started. So, for those who are going to tourism, please, if you're just going to take people to a site and let them have fun, it's a different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to start telling them history, do a little research to know what you're going to tell people so you can tell people the facts.
Okay. Anything else for we that already there, we young ones already there, and then of course the elder ones?
Well, the same thing applies to everybody. Let us get it right. Let's tell our narratives the right way so that when we're telling it to foreigners, they'll go home
with the right information. All right.
For me, that is what I think we should do.
All right. Any last words, sir?
Visit Scream Museum of Nigerian History. We are the pioneer private history museum, and we are the best. Well, I'm not just saying it. You need to come to us and see what we have.
Yeah. I agree, guys. You should. I'm not just advertising for advertising's sake, because he's my tourism daddy. I have been there at least 2 times, and I owe him. I owe him more visits. So please come and join me. Let's go there. All right. So thank you very much for being here. God bless you.
You're most welcome. And let me also use this opportunity to say thank you so much for me. It's actually a big privilege. I'm saying it for the first time. Like seriously,
she's
look at it this
blush.
Way. Hold on. She's Ajala Nene, and she voted me as Ajala Nana. It's a big deal for me, so I really do appreciate it. Thanks so much, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you guys for listening and for watching. See you the next edition. 8. We conclude our journey across Nigeria and Africa on See the World with Ajala Nene. We hope you enjoyed exploring this journey with us and that you feel inspired to discover its unique beauty for yourself. Thank you for listening. For your feedback and comment, feel free to hit us up across our socials at See the World with Ajala Nene, and you can find me personally at Ajala Nene on Instagram. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring. Your journey and your adventure awaits you.